Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for coming to earth, that we might know the good news, and that your Spirit might be poured into our hearts. We pray that you, one God, would accomplish your purpose in the giving and the receiving of your word this morning. Amen. Perhaps some of you are thinking that we got the gospel lesson all wrong. You know, this is it's not Palm Sunday. What are we reading this story for? We are aware that we are in the season of Advent. And in the Western Church, Advent is the four Sundays that come before December 25th. In the Eastern Church, it is the 40 days that precede Christmas Day. And like Lent, Advent is a period of fasting. And yet, it's of a different kind of fasting than our fast approaching Easter. At Easter, we are fasting as we look toward the crucifixion of the one that we love, our Lord and Savior. But at Advent, in our fasting, we are looking towards Mary, the Virgin, giving birth to Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the light brought into the darkness. But we have this strange lesson assigned for us this morning. It's Christmas. Where are the shepherds and the angels? Where's Mary and her donkey? Isn't Jesus arriving at the temple a Palm Sunday story? This story, including it at Advent, is an ancient tradition. Advent means to arrive. In the story that we heard, Jesus arrived at the temple, the physical location on earth where God's presence was to be found at the time. But now, the mystery of God has been revealed. God's purposes have been made clear in Jesus Christ. Every human is to become the temple of God. God intends to live within every human, to arrive at the door of every human heart. And so at Christmas, we are celebrating not simply that Jesus came to earth, and in this story, to the temple, but that Jesus comes today to our lives once again. And the fast of Advent is meant to remind us that we need to prepare for that moment, for the moment that Jesus arrives at the door of our heart. On the one hand, how could that encounter be anything but joyful? And so, of course, our Advent fasting is mixed with joy and celebration in a way that Lent isn't. As intimidating, for me at any rate, the thought of meeting God is, God chose to arrive as an infant, as if to make the most endearing and the least scary introduction to us as possible. However, there may be a problem. As the prophet Malachi glimpsed this day coming in the future, these were the words that he tried to put in his poetry, into his preaching. Malachi spoke, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who can endure the day of God's coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. He will purify and refine them like gold and silver, that they may present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." In today's story, Jesus came to the temple of Jerusalem and purified it. He confronted all those stalls set up in the temple's courtyard. But it's important for us to note that these stalls existed in order to aid people to to worship and to pray. It was essential, in fact, to have these stalls. And yet Jesus overturned them. People were traveling from all across the Roman Empire to Jerusalem to pray. And that required purchasing offerings, sacrifices. And so there needed to be an exchange of monies so that the gifts could be purchased. And there needed to be animal stalls there so that the sacrifices could be purchased. People needed these stalls. And yet, Jesus drove out the merchants. It was as if they made up a kind of black market. Now, we know perhaps that that phrase of the black market and what it means. Anything that is bought or sold outside of government regulation and supervision. And so between friends for small items, we might pay cash where it saves us the unnecessary hassle of taxes and reporting, which are really exempt. But sometimes, perhaps, we've also had an experience where someone does some work for us and at the end says, just pay me in cash. Perhaps they don't want the government to see what they're doing. They don't want that scrutiny, probably trying to avoid some taxes. The merchants in the temple in Jerusalem were not trying to avoid the Roman taxes. They weren't trying to avoid the authority of the temple priesthood. But it appears they were trying to avoid God's scrutiny while they made their living. They did not seem to have asked God at any point, should I be here selling where I am? It did not seem to have asked God at any point, what is it that you want me to do? What is my role in your kingdom? What is my role in relationship to the temple? I suppose, like all of us, they were trying to find a way to get by in life. And to ask God this question might mean the risk of losing everything that they were familiar with. Maybe it had never occurred to them to ask God, to seek God in this part of their life, even though they were so close to the temple. Now, I think I'm being a little bit dramatic, but in a manner of speaking, perhaps each one of us as the temple of God, in our lives, in our hearts and minds, perhaps we have set up stalls where we are making daily deals. Perhaps we are holding onto all sorts of things to help us get through the days, to help us find meaning in life, to help meet our basic needs. But perhaps we have not asked God if these things ought to be present in our lives, if this is what God wants us to be doing at this point. Certainly there are stalls like the ones that Paul named that stand clearly at odds with God's purposes in creation and God's purposes for us. Alcohol abuse, endless partying, promiscuity, lust, and adultery, jealousy, envy, anger, quarreling. But maybe there are other stalls that on the face of things, seem harmless. In fact, they may seem necessary to us, but they've taken up a place in our heart, and we've failed to ask God what God thinks about it. I think of stalls like TV and video games and phones, stalls like our work hours, stalls like entertainment. Sin might seem at times like a list of broken rules, but this question of what God wants us to do with our lives suggests that sin is about God's ever-expanding interest in all that we do with our lives. Sin is about closing off some part of what we're doing and how we're spending our time and our money from God's scrutiny. Instead of allowing Jesus to enter, to help us carry our burdens, to renew us, to guide us and direct us. Augustine said in his commentary on this passage, "Let your heart turn away from every seller, and let your heart come where it might freely receive from the Lord Jesus Christ." What gifts does Richard Hovey leave with us as he moves on to in response to God's call in his life? "I have heard from him the invitation to a deeper life with Jesus Christ, a life in closer, warmer connection to God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I hope in his time here you also were reminded that a deeper life in Jesus Christ involves removing the old habits day after day and the old ways of thinking and adding in new habits of prayer. Richard has created for us a whole library of spiritual practices that have been handed down to us. If at any point you're pining for Richard's voice or his company, we have hours of Richard on tape helping us understand some of these practices that we could add into our life. I encourage you this Advent to skim through that list and find one that's new to you that you might add into your life. Paul wrote, "The night is far gone. The day is nearly here. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness. Instead, let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us make no provision to gratify the desires of the flesh." We are meant to be places of prayer, a temple of the Holy Spirit, of God's presence on earth. Perhaps this Advent, you might ask Jesus, what stalls are set up in your heart that he would have us remove? This is the Advent invitation to us over the coming weeks, to hear Jesus say, "I am standing at the door and knocking. Open up and welcome me in, and I will eat with you." Jesus came to purify the temple of Jerusalem, and Jesus comes again to us this Advent. If we welcome Jesus Christ into our lives, he must purify us. To the glory of God, amen.